I'm so excited. In 2018, I was asked to represent the United States to discuss nurturing children's mental health at the Tibetan Medical Society in Dharamshala. Here we go. First of all, the most important thing for all of us to remember in anything we do, whether it's a presentation, whether it's starting our day, is to lead into gratitude. So this first slide is sort of setting the stage with what I think is good for all of our mental health, no matter what age we are. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for listening to the ebook. And thank you to past, present, and future guests and anyone I work with. And by the way, that's my son way back, circa 2018. So that's my son, Kieran. All right. When we think about nurturing children's mental health, this actually can be universal for all of us. We have to look at definitions. To nurture, the action or process of nurturing someone or something. When I gave this talk, it was translated from English into Tibetan. So I wanted to make sure the slides really spoke to all of us. I hope they do for you too. Okay. When we look at mental health, it's very, very multidimensional. I like to talk about sensory perception, mental wellness, mental health, and thriving. From a Western medicine standpoint, you usually do an assessment that's biological, psychological, social, cultural, spiritual. Here's a lovely little slide talking about psychological, social, spiritual well-being. It's how we think, how we feel, and how we act. Worldwide, 10 to 20% of children experience mental health challenges. I know it says disorders, but I like to say challenges, not because there's not a disorder, but when I hear the word disorder, it kind of keeps you in the place of being sick. So I just want you guys to keep that in mind. And I do believe if we were to update this after the pandemic, it might even be a higher statistic, unfortunately. Did you know that 50% of lifelong mental health issues start before age 14, 75% before age 24. Prevention is key, which means if you have a family history of anxiety, depression, focus issues, if you've had any trauma, it's important that you look at biological, psychological, social, cultural, spiritual, and then sixth sense intuition to have your best day. When we have our best day, that's where we can engage in prevention. I like to think of things just like if someone here in the United States, we always know if you catch on fire, it's like stop, drop, and roll. So a lot of these next slides are just sort of setting the ingredients for what I think mental health that we need. And I always talk about awareness, self-love, and altruism. So awareness is being aware, even in this moment, of your own emotions and your physical sensations. If you're in this moment, you can tune in and say, do I have a stomach ache? Is my heart racing? Am I feeling sad? How's my body responding? So when we look at mental health, we really have to do a deep dive and have an awareness of our own sensory perception and actually how we perceive the environment and how we feel. I feel like for anyone tuning into this ebook, depending on where you are in the country, many, many cultures have always thought about meditation as mind medicine. In the West, now they needed to kind of have the data and the science to prove it. So one of the things I talk about with my patients is that meditation is mind medicine. A lot of my patients, especially the ones that have focus, kind of get mad at me. They think you have to be going like this, like this little slide is with the kids, but you can meditate while you're exercising, music, doing art. So to me, meditation is really being present in the moment. And there's different practices of meditation, but I kind of want to always challenge you to find your own way. And also make it part of your day, just like brushing your teeth. Okay, this is amazing. This study, I'm so thankful for the pioneers in the Western world. Sarah Lazar of Harvard, she had a really unique situation happen. She was getting her PhD. And she had an injury and she started going to yoga and she started realizing how much better she felt when she found her own practice of meditation, so much so that she changed her entire PhD. And so she did a study that showed that meditators after 8 weeks, this is actually kind of hard science now, they showed thickening of areas of the brain that correlate with improvement in self-relevance, learning, cognition, memory, emotional regulation, perspective taking, empathy, and compassion. And amygdala, which is the area of the brain that's associated with fear, was smaller in the meditators. This was just after 8 weeks. And this was actually a short amount of times of actual meditating. So can you imagine if you just integrate this, all these things that can contribute to prevention? So meditation and mindfulness allow a great foundation for prevention and mental health. I love this. I love when the environments we live in, work in, and our children go to school kind of have that holistic approach. This was at my son's elementary school circa 2018, and it said, ripples of kindness make waves of change. And at the time when he was going to school, they would actually give awards once a week, who was doing a good job taking care of the environment, who was helping other students. They made a little rock garden. So no matter what age you are, the environment that you're in, what the outfits you wear, the ways you think can really influence your mental well-being. I work with all ages. I work with children, teens, and adults. And when I'm working with kids and even with adults, you can kind of ask yourself throughout the day, if we want to teach our children to be their own best friend, but I think adults have a hard time doing that. So you have to ask yourself in this moment, how could I treat myself the best way? How would you treat your own best friend? How can you be your own best friend? What gives you joy? What makes you happy? For instance, I know that not everyone drinks coffee, but I do. But I have different coffee mugs. Like depending on how busy my day is, I might have one with joy. I might want happiness. I have jewelry that makes me happy. I wear different outfits. So that makes me kind of keep that pep in the step. So a playful attitude, an attitude of gratefulness. So you want to really engage your children in asking them what makes them feel like their best friend or yourself. Okay, we already talked about the key ingredients of setting the foundation, just like we're building a house. We have to have awareness, and then we have to have our own unique self-love. And those set the stage for inner peace and healthy mindset. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Awareness and self-love can also happen when you're in crisis. You can be having stress. You could, you know, your server could go down. You could, like for kids in the morning, they might not find their favorite outfit. So how do you place emphasis on an awareness when you are getting annoyed, when things aren't going your way? It's not all happy. So you can have an element of peace and self-love getting through a task to have more peace in that moment of even frustration. Okay, I like to talk about when individuals thrive, we all thrive. I talked about awareness, self-love, and altruism. And when we have enough energy and we're feeling good about ourselves, it's easier to smile at our neighbor, help someone. And then the Western medicine approach, when we do assessments, is biological, psychological, social, spiritual, and cultural. But I really like to say I practice universe medicine right now, where I integrate the unseen, the quantum understanding of the universe, and we add that intuition. Back in 2018, when I gave this initial presentation, the world wasn't as into intuition, quantum dynamics. Of course, in India, they lead with that. They lead with meditation. So when I gave this presentation, I was explaining the Western medicine approach. Biological in the Western way, you do a good developmental history. You do genetics, prenatal care. You take an excellent family history, physical exam, lab work, check the thyroid, endocrine issues, anything with inflammation. You ask different psychological questions. Is there any recent stressors in their home life, family financial, family health, divorce, family dynamic, and then social? We know this was a talk on nurturing children's mental health, but their peer relationships, especially in the teen years, are so important. So you want to look at your child, whether they're talented at music, the creative arts, a sport, their own individual workout routine, their own time in nature. You really want them to have a hobby, but you also want them to surround themselves with a peer group that can lead by example. Social, oh my goodness, this is something so sad for our world. 20% of kids that are cyberbullied think about suicide, and 1 in 10 attempt it. Back in 2016, in a 3-month period of time, I had about 7 patients between ages 10 and 16 that had a family history of either depression or ADD, but sort of the trigger that got them into my office was bullying or making fun of someone, saying they were too fat or they weren't smart enough. So we really need to create ecosystems, just like that slide with the ripples of kindness. We need to have the right school environment, the right home environment. And if you're an adult listening to this, apply it to yourself. We need the right work environment. We need to be kinder, online and offline. This is all part of prevention. Cultural and spiritual. It's important to know and assess a person's cultural and spiritual beliefs, religious, and have a universal understanding. I think when you just lead into the concept of love and non-judgment, and you try to, as much as you can, no matter what part of the world you're in, have compassion of maybe how someone was raised, their socioeconomic class, their religious beliefs. If we lead into that, we have less judgment of ourselves and less judgment of others. But that should be part of a great mental wellness routine. Unbelievable. For optimal mental health, 80 to 90% of our physical and mental health is influenced by our thoughts, actions, and intentions, our environment. If you look, the Dr. Denise branding has DNA strands kind of in an ethereal background. That's DNA coded within the Dr. Denise brand, because I know that we all can have resiliency in our own genetics. Our own thoughts, actions, and intentions influence. We interact with consciousness. We interact with DNA. So even if you have a family history of alcoholism, depression, bipolar, if you're making great, healthy nutrition choices, volunteerism, getting the right thing, you can actually have a great optimal outcome. Back when I was in medical school, we thought more genetics was 50-50. We now know how much we can influence our own health and have prevention. Super, super hopeful. Okay, here we go. I just mentioned a bunch of them. We want good sleep, exercise, nutrition. For children, we want literacy and education. We know that having great reading and great education is prevention for crime. And I've done some podcasts on that. Also, parental family love and acts of compassion. Model to your children, model to yourself. There's the five languages of love. I'll go deeper on that in another presentation, but we all receive and appreciate love in different ways. So find out what your way is. Do you like compliments? Do you like to show up for someone? There's just different ways to show love and compassion. Here are some slides. You guys can take a look. There's different amounts of sleep for different ages. Exercise. Kids should exercise daily for at least 60 minutes. We're living at a time with a lot of obesity and a lot of inflammation. I think because of all of our screen time, we all need to get out and move more. So important to add omega-3 fat to the children's diet, also to all of our diets. Anti-inflammation diet is also mind medicine. Low sugar. At the time of this interview, there was all the data, and there still is, about plant-based. There's a lot of controversy about nutrition, and I like you to keep an open mind, because I personally, my metabolism type does really well with keto and carnivore, and there's all these battles. But to me, the less processed food, this an update to this slide would be stay away from processed food and stay away from sugar. And you find, and you talk to your doctor, your health professional, as to how you thrive. I'm thriving with more of, I was doing more of a pescatarian at the time of this presentation. I've tried plant-based for my functional genomics. I do best with keto and meat. Talk to your doctor, talk to your nutritionist. Less processed foods, less sugar. Okay, we just talked about preventing childhood obesity. It can really, really take a toll on your health long term. Just think anti-inflammation, anti-inflammation, anti-inflammation. This is the same thing. Healthy foods, less sugar, less processed foods, move your body. We need to drink water. I forget this sometimes. Sometimes I drink too much coffee. So make sure you hydrate. I'm fortunate to have an alkalized water machine, but water is essential. It's so good for our cognition. It's great for our energy. It's great for our mitochondria and for health. Did you know this has to do with literacy? The more books the child owns or borrows from the library, the more the child will stay in school. So just reading to your kid a little bit each day will help them to thrive and be engaged in the learning process. Super crucial. When I was growing up, my dad was like, no, because I said so, which is more of the authoritative side, authoritative versus authoritarian. Authoritarian is kind, firm limits, communication's open, and you're very approachable. So usually authoritarian is when you qualitatively tell your child, this is what my bedtime rule is, and this is why you reason with them. But I will tell you, in my home, if I've done three nice tries and it doesn't work, sometimes I have to raise my voice and kind of be more of the no because I said so. So adapt. We know the data shows kindness, firmness, open communication works, but some kids need a little firmer hand. We talked about awareness, self-love, and altruism. If we have an integration of helping others, I think it really, we can lean into compassion. If we know maybe that someone else is in need, it makes it easier for us to even go back within. We feel really good when we help others. My intention in this time, and still is I love to integrate material science and what's called post-material science. I am saying I practice universe medicine. What that means is it's the best of Western medicine, Eastern medicine, and a true integration, and always keeping open and curious. Get the data, replicate, and see what works, and find the right team for you, for your mental health, wherever you are in the world. Epigenetics. We can control, just like the DNA strands on the slide, we can turn things on and off. We all have a very big power with our words, thoughts, and actions. That's why the self-empowerment is realizing that we control how well our own unique genetics are by all the holistic tips I've given in this presentation so far. Okay, I love this slide. So when we think of quantum reality, quantum physics, to me, all things are happening at once. So when we think about information flow, there's the Newtonian and the linear understanding of the universe, there's the quantum and the holistic. I think I like to say paradigm progression pioneers are on my show, or I challenge you to be a paradigm progression pioneer. Do you see how progression? It allows the best of linear data plus quantum. All thought processes matter. Not one's better or worse. We just keep learning. So I think we do best when we integrate. And that's why I say I practice universe medicine. Remember, neurostyle. We haven't really defined this. It's going to be a whole nother book. But my now, at this point, 2024, I've had shows on Embrace Your Neurostyle and Beyond. It's trademarked. So I define neurostyles as we all process and perceive information in our own unique way. And it's multidimensional, fabulous five, biological, psychological, social, cultural, spiritual, coupled with sixth sense intuition. Remember, we all have different neurostyles and we need to have empathy for that. Here we go, neurostyle. We all process and perceive information in our own unique way. By the way, it's really positive because you don't have to neurostyle. Listen to how that word sounds. It's even a masterclass in paying attention to the words and story you tell yourself. In Western medicine, there's neurodiverse, neurotypical, nothing wrong for a scientific study. But out in the world, you want to be like, my neurostyle likes to do more of a movie, or my neurostyle likes to be in a crowd. You can use this interchangeably for everything. It's not just diagnoses. It's like having more of a self-acceptance and a self-awareness. Mindfulness, we've kind of been talking about this all along. Mindfulness focuses on conscious awareness of being in this moment. So you have to figure out how you stay more present. It's very unique to you. Some people, by the way, that have focus issues do better if they're doodling. Some people actually do really well working in a loud cafe. So mindfulness and sensory perception is not a one size fits all. Okay, oh my gosh, my son, this is hilarious. There was this quiet area at his father's work, and all of a sudden he went and just started going, om. So I just thought it was fun because even he thought that this is what meditation and mindfulness is. And plus he likes to make me laugh. Okay, thank you guys for listening. This is back in 2018, a little walk on the beach. You can tell I've lost a little weight since then. I did change my nutrition plan, which it didn't work for me. That plant-based didn't work. I'm not negative towards it. So anyways, I've always been about love all kind, one love, one humanity, and to keep talking about mental health and how you stay inspired. It's very unique to you.